Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast, episode 132. I am joined here in person by Oliver Hoare, and then back with us today is Jorge Beamish, coming to us live from Boulder. George, how you feeling?
Hello, boys. I'm happy to be back. I was just telling these guys pre-recording, I had a listen to last week's episode, and you know what? I'm glad I wasn't on there. It was a bit too Australian themed for my liking, but I enjoyed it a lot, and happy to be back. How's it down under stuff?
We'll balance it out by a New Zealand-based trivia.
Yeah, we've got it hidden, the New Zealand trivia hidden.
We're going to do some Lord of the Rings roleplay today. And that is actually, as you guys can hear, perfect timing because we have another plane sound. get your counters out. That is plane number one in the first minute of the show. Ollie and I are once again recording from our backyard. Nice and early in the morning. It's 8:30 here. So probably a pretty busy time for planes flying into Adelaide Airport, yeah. I would guess.
I would say so. I think one of those planes will have our coach on it, hopefully. He did miss his connection. I think he was too confident in a 40-minute connection from an international transfer to a domestic flight. Now an American knows how it feels, you know, when you miss connection flights. It sucks when you go international. Because I missed a few in college,
I'm sure
I think.
No American has ever missed.
Was that in Sydney, though?
No, it was just going into the US, going to a different country, and then having to connect in a domestic flight there.
Dathan's one.
Yeah, he made it to. He's in Sydney now, but he had 40 minutes.
No, didn't he tell you that his plane got delayed?
Yeah,
so that's why.
You have 40 minutes from the delay to get to next
plane
terminal.
Out of San Francisco got delayed.
So he didn't make it.
My connection through Sydney when I lived from pre. When I was trying to go back to New Zealand and I took a small detour through Sydney, that was the most stressful connection of my life.
Really?
The arrivals process in Sydney makes no sense. You have to print out that little like ticket thing.
Card, yeah.
And hand it to just anyone you find. I went through with Matt Denny. He had no clue what was happening either.
Maybe they just do that for the Kiwis or something. I don't know. I've had very smooth process.
I've always had a smooth process as well.
It's very easy.
But I understand why people can get confused.
You take note of everything, and then you put it into a machine. Bing, bang, boom. You're in the country.
Mm. What people make the mistake of is that when you walk through, there's like two little kiosks where you get the card, and everyone lines up for that. Whereas if you keep walking down, there's like 100 of them.
There's more kiosks.
Yeah. So people like get confused and think, I have to wait in this line.
Well, yeah, they get confused because it's really fucking confusing.
Well, it's because no one's there explaining it, but because Morgan and I have been through that airport so many times, we know you can just go all the way down. So that's a little tip for people traveling into Sydney.
To be fair, I've never had to do a transfer. So
yeah, I've always just gone through.
I don't know what the actual transfer is.
Well, I did one.
Getting into Sydney.
My flight was delayed.
See, when you come in from the US, normally, like the flights that we get on, it's normally actually pretty chill because you're like the first... You're like the first five planes of the day, you know, because the flight from America, from LA or San Fran gets in so early in the morning. So those are actually pretty chill.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
the whole world will be fucking Adelaide, right, for the meet this week. Yeah. So the airport will be just chocker all week.
It will be chocker. I mean, there's a lot of planes flying over last weekend because there was the AFL weekend here. I can't remember what the weekend's called.
But far more this week, yeah.
But yeah, this weekend will be big. Big one.
Huge one.
Athletic celebration.
Oh, yes.
Down here in Adelaide. Before we get into...
Really? 9 days?
Well, technically, yes. Yeah. But I think that's maybe including the junior races. It's not 9 days in the way that like the US one is 12 days because it matches the Olympic schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It's 9 days. I think that takes into account literally everything.
Para athletes, yeah, juniors, para. So like overall national championships for everyone.
Going on, like, so there is a lot going on, but I think like they've really concentrated a lot of the finals on just Saturday, Sunday. So in terms of a lot of the big finals, it is just across like there's two big days on the weekends that they're focusing on. But the actual whole meet technically is, it's a long one.
Nice. Can't wait. Yeah. Hopefully I get the days right. I've been struggling already with the
It is annoying.
It's not easy. And then you throw in the half an hour change and everyone...
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. For anyone listening,
I've never heard of that.
Hopefully he's going to be watching some races. Adelaide is on a half time zone.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't even know that. And I'm from...
Yeah, I didn't know that either until we got in and I'm like looking at my watch. I was like, why is it... There's a half an hour difference here. It's crazy.
I love it though. I love it.
They just want to be different.
I just want to be different.
Why not? But yeah, before we get into previewing all that, we should just do a little March Madness update, which will be pretty outdated actually by the time it like this episode airs, because I think is the final game on right now or is it tonight?
It's tonight. It's in like 2 hours. Tonight.
So maybe we'll do a proper review of it next week when all the results are in. But we can announce the women's winner, which is, wow, this is a really good name. ESPN 6162-8906 is picks number one. They were in the top 0.1%, 99.9 percentile. Only 9 guesses wrong. I'm not even sure how that's possible.
Play number two.
I don't even know how that's possible. But there were 6 people in the top 1% in the women's brackets. So they're invited to the party with George, which we'll have to discuss more next week as well. But
yeah, last week I did mention that you should just take him for a trip to New Zealand. I feel like that's worth the kind of achievement that they've achieved here with the March Madness bracket, is George can take you guys for a New Zealand trip.
How many top 1%ers do we have in the men's? I didn't realize we were counting women.
Similar. The men's side is similar. I think it'll end up being about 5 or so.
That's 11.
Something like that.
That's a pretty good party, honestly, George.
It's a large gathering.
Yeah. You're going to have to think of something. Or we're going to have to think of something to reward all these amazing March Madness madnesses.
Did you see the Iowa-UConn Final Four game was like the most watched ESPN basketball game in history or something? Including all NBA games ever? Or that ESPN has been streaming since like 2002 or something?
Jeez, that's crazy.
That's amazing.
That's so crazy.
I can tell you based on my Twitter that I'm fully part of it as well. Like all my algorithm on Twitter is all like Caitlin Clark related news. Like nothing about the men's. It's all just about Caitlin Clark. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen Caitlin tweets Clark about effect. It saying that it's the women's tournament's been way more followed than the men's. Like a lot. Just watching like that journey with Iowa. Which is pretty
crazy.
I did
watch that game and it was...
And her threes are kind of crazy. I love watching... Yeah.
It's the best game I've seen this whole March Madness so far.
I mean, like I think the games have been more entertaining on the women's tournament side than the men's. That's what I've seen on people's opinions on Twitter. That the women's
haven't watched one game.
I've watched highlights. I've watched highlights. And I'm saying that this is people's opinions on Twitter. This is not my opinions because I've only watched highlights. But they've said that the women's tournament was very entertaining. I mean, the men's going to be always entertaining, but the women's has been very entertaining, apparently.
Yeah. What have you guys been doing down there?
Drinking coffee.
That's a big question, George. That's a big question. shall we get into it? Well, first off, if that was you, the winner, please reach out to either Womtang or our Instagram account with proof of it, and then we will get you the hat, which is your prize, and then same on the men's side. But we'll report on that more next week. We'll see how that all ends up. But yeah, well done to everyone that. But yeah, Adelaide, what have we been up to? Life here, when you don't have the structure of the team training, is very relaxed.
Pretty amazing.
Very relaxed. You can train whenever you want. You can do whatever you want every day. You can take things pretty easy in the mornings if you so choose. So we've been, I mean, nothing crazy. We've been out for a few meals, a couple of...
We had a date night.
A couple of date nights. Yeah. A lot of coffee has been drunk, going out for coffee with the boys. We've been very lucky. We did talk about this last week, but once again, a big shout out and a thank you to the amazing running community that is based here in Adelaide. Been very kind to us, looking after us very well. So yeah. We've been hanging out with them a bunch. We've been always still been playing a bunch of Halo.
Morgan's been playing Halo too, to be fair.
I played a couple games of Halo. Still not that fun.
Definitely. But you keep playing.
Well, did I play one game yesterday?
You did.
No, I didn't.
I'm pretty sure. Didn't I come back from something and you were inside playing Husky Raid or something?
No, that was you left. You DoorDashed and you went outside to get it, and then you came back in and I hadn't touched it.
No. Maybe that was yesterday. But I remember walking in from a run or something and I didn't even turn on the Xbox and you were in already playing. You like turned it on and started playing.
You made this must be a dream.
No. You're just in denial.
Because we ran together. So how could you have come back from a run?
I came back from something. I'm pretty sure.
Regardless, I've been watching TV episodes and reading the books. I checked out a beach here a couple of days ago. Oh, I do have a story about it, actually. So I went down to visit the beach to hop in the ocean water, which was lovely, pretty cold. The beaches here are, they're very just, if you just like told a, or asked a child to like draw a picture of a beach, they'd just draw like what the beaches here look like. They're very standard, like in a good way, they're nice. And they're very big, which is cool. But when I went down, it was a little bit chilly. I hopped in the water and I was just in there for probably 5 minutes and I started, it was like only me in there. Like there was no one else in the section that I was in. But there was like a really big sandbank. So I was like only in up to my waist pretty much. And I turn around to start coming back in and I see behind me, like in between me and the ocean, the sand, like directly my path. I'm like, wow, that's a really big piece of seaweed right there. And then I see a flipper come out of the water. I'm like, wait, what the hell is that? And initially I was kind of shitting myself. I was a little bit scared that it was, well, initially I thought it didn't make sense to me because it was so close to the sand. I'm like, is that a dolphin? But like, how would a dolphin be there? And I'm like, well, what if that's a shark? I might be dead. And then it turns out it was a sea lion. And there was a sea lion like 2 meters away from me. And it was,
that's pretty cool.
It was like, it was just in like, the waves were really small and just kind of in the break and it just kept doing barrel rolls. Like it was just like on its back and then its flippers would come out and then it would just spin around and it would just go along the shoreline just like that. And I spoke to some old people and apparently there's like a pier next to there and apparently it just hangs out near the pier and like eats, you know, the whatever sea lions eat around the pier.
KFC.
Living the dream.
So, yeah.
What's the difference between a sea lion and a seal? Is that the same thing?
I think they're just different types of seals.
I don't know. A sea lion sounds a little more scary.
Let me look it up.
But I think seals are bigger based on just my...
This guy was pretty small.
My guess is he wasn't massive, no. But I don't know who had the advantage, like if he had been aggressive in a fight there, because... Like,
could you have taken him?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I'm thinking that I could have just because, like, the water was only up to, like, my waist or below my waist. If it was any deeper, he would have absolutely destroyed me. But in this amount of water, like, I had at least a chance.
There's a difference here. So a sea lion has external ear flaps, generally larger body. They're noisy and they bark. They have front flippers that are large, elongated, and can walk around. And the rear flippers are also bigger, whereas a seal doesn't have ears. Its body size is a lot smaller, sounds are quieter, and it's much more of like a... I mean, the sea lion can like spend more time out of the water, like walking around and stuff.
So Gus is a sea lion.
Gus is a sea lion, yeah. Except Gus's ears are quite bigger than a sea lion's. A sea lion's ears look very tiny for its head. But that's what Morgan saw. So.
You would think that at some point the sea lion had to do some pretty egregious acts to, or maybe not egregious, some pretty epic acts to earn that name.
I mean, sea lion sounds like it's like a the king of the ocean, because exactly. Like the lion's like the king of the jungle. But I mean, sea lions they're kind of aggressive though.
I think that's sea leopard. Those ones
sea leopards. A sea leopard.
Those are
yeah,
ones that
right.
eat penguins. Those ones that eat penguins.
Right. They're the ones, that's what I'm thinking of, the ones that eat penguins. I mean, killer whales are like the scariest motherfuckers in the ocean. Those things are crazy. Sea lions and sea leopards are pretty, I feel like, I wouldn't say chill, but.
I don't think those two things are similar.
Sea lion right. And sea leopard?
We're getting off topic.
Sea lions and sea leopards are part of the same family though, right?
It's
of seals.
That, sea leopards exist, so I'm learning a lot right now. I was not aware.
What's the animal with the massive narwhal? The narwhal with the big
like the unicorn?
Those things are crazy.
They're probably dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway,
DoorDash and video games for Ollie. That doesn't sound like much has changed.
Okay. To be fair, I DoorDashed once. I love that. That's yes, I did DoorDash, but it was once, and it was from organized lunch because we were kind of tired and lazy. We got a Porto and it was unreal. But I have been playing a lot of video games, and we've been out going, like getting coffee, catching up with a lot of people in the running community, and then just enjoying being in Adelaide. Like, it's pretty nice to just walk around and Morgan went to the beach.
Have you been enjoying those single shot flat whites?
I have always got double shot. I always ask for double shot. Except for if I've had too many coffees, and I'll do a single shot.
I can't wait to go to New Zealand, and if I got a single shot, I would literally like make the biggest deal out of it. Like, if it's not true what you're saying, and like the standard at any of the cafes there is a single shot, everything falls apart.
I definitely think there'll be a single shot place in Adelaide. I mean, I'm in New Zealand for sure. Yeah. For sure, there'll be a single shot place in New Zealand. There's no way.
Yeah. That's a lot of pressure, but I'm willing to stand by it.
One thing that I didn't realize they do here, if you order a cappuccino or a flat white, they ask you if you want a small or a large. Or maybe they say small or regular. I didn't realize they did that. And it's like, I think it's the difference between maybe like a 6 ounce and I don't know what the biggest size is.
12 ounce?
Yeah. I think it's 12.
12 is massive, actually. Never mind.
Yeah. I don't know if you get the regular size if they put a double shot in it. But yeah.
Yes. When I say large, I thought they meant like double shot. 10 ounce or 8 ounce.
Yeah. But it's just crazy to be back in this type of culture where they just, yeah, it's so different to America. Like, there are so many cafes here, but they're all like packed. Like, they're always so busy. And it's just like, you kind of ask, like, what is everyone doing? Like, does anyone like work here? Because seemingly everyone's just out at the cafe all day, just hanging out. So, but it's very cool vibe.
I mean, every cafe here too is like pretty high quality in coffee and food.
I think you have to be. I think you have to be to survive out here. Whereas in America, I think the standard is. No, I'm not trying to just rail on America. I really do. I think the standard is just. It's just different.
It's just different culture. Culturally different, yeah.
So it's very nice to be back here.
Is OEC Oceania in Adelaide yet?
No, they're. They don't get in until more close to the race, I suppose. I mean, they're probably filtering in now because I guess some of them would be here, but some of them don't compete until the weekend. So I think, like, I was actually speaking to Ed Trippis, and they don't have, they're all kind of like a little bit doing their own thing in terms of accommodation and all that. So they're a little bit more split up.
Spread out.
So, yeah. Yeah. But everyone will be getting into Adelaide, I guess, in the next couple of days. I guess by the time this episode airs, Ollie will have already competed in the heats. So we're just assuming hopefully that goes well. And there's no crazy occurrences, and he's in the final. And then he'll be competing in the final on
Saturday yeah.
afternoon.
And then Sunday, Morgan races.
Sunday then is the
5K. And then I potentially might race as well.
Yeah, Ollie would maybe double back in the 5K. So, I don't know, I guess we were just looking
at the day early both days here. That'll be Friday, Saturday in the US.
Time change. But actually, because the races are in the afternoon, it's late for the US, but it's very, like, watchable. I don't actually know where it's streamed on, but it's like,
I think YouTube. I think it might be YouTube, but okay. I could find out and let Tom know. Instagram. Yeah, because I think last time, the national champs a while ago when I raced, it was on YouTube. I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100%, but I think that's the best way to watch it if you're outside of Australia.
How's the forecast looking?
I haven't even looked.
I haven't checked. the thing that's
is
weird.
It the same every day?
It
changes a lot.
I mean, temperature-wise, it looks like it's going to be very similar. Not that hot, like very chill, like partly cloudy. But it looks pretty chill. I mean, we say that now, but the weather changes here dramatically. Like yesterday, it was like sunny, rainy, cloudy.
Every day is
windy.
Like a max of 20, and then all the days have like the cloud and the sunshine. And as we experienced here yesterday. That can mean that it's sunny for 1 second, and then it's raining the next. So it can change a lot. But the one thing that we've been told and now experienced, which is pretty common here, is the afternoons get a bit windy, and so all the races are in the afternoon. So decent chance there's a bit of wind. So that'll just mean, I guess, more tactical racing, probably.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah.
That's what we like
George
to see.
Beamish racing. Yeah.
But should we? I mean, I don't think we're going to preview these races too much because it's just championship racing. But how are you feeling for it all? What are you thinking? What's the mindset going into this one?
I mean, I think it's my first race back, say, 10 months. It's been 10 months. And it's funny, I thought I'd be a bit more anxious about it, but I'm pretty excited. So I'm excited to race. I definitely, like 6 weeks ago, was feeling less confident than I am now. I'm feeling very confident. The past 6 weeks, I've gotten like really good training, but also my body's just feeling amazing most days. And I feel like the time zone change as well for me was very easy to get back into the swing of things here. So I'm very much excited and looking forward to it, and definitely, going to take advantage of being able to run a national championship. We don't get to race much at home, so that's exciting. And then we'll see how it goes, but I know I'm entered in the 5K. I've done a lot of longer training with the boys, so so like I could run a decent 5K, but we'll see how my body pulls up after the two races, 2 1500s, which I don't know if they're going to be, I mean, I'm sure they're going to be tactical, but you just never know with people like Stewie or others who might just want to go for it. But if it's windy and the conditions aren't great, then it'll be much more of a tactical affair, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, you know, we haven't had in a long time.
What?
A McSqueezy 1500.
Yeah, a McSqueezy. Well, you've got McSwain and me in it, so we might be squeezing. I mean, I feel like knowing Stewie or seeing how Stewie races, and then seeing how I race, we both love a good squeeze. We love a good squeeze. And like if it's a squeezy race if it's a squeeze off where it's 800 out or 600 out, even a K out, it still could be very entertaining because there's a lot of boys that could go with it. And I think it'll be an exciting race anyway. But obviously you got to get through the first round, make it to the final. That's the plan. And then try and win it. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be – I'm looking at Tom's entries he posted for us. 12 guys run under 340, I think, or with PRs under 340. That's pretty good for a like country like Australia.
The depth is
not
crazy,
like just for like a small country, you know, smaller.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome. I mean, it definitely. I think someone said it. One of the boys said it. Like, I'm gonna butcher this quote. high tide raises all boats. Is that?
No, that's it.
Is that
it? Nice. Yeah.
Like, I think the high tide of Australian middle distance running is raising everyone's abilities and beliefs, and that's an exciting place to be. So yeah,
it's the field is amazing as well because it has everything. It has, like, at this point, someone like Stewie is, you could consider him a veteran. It's got the record holder, Com Games gold medalist in Ollie, but then it's also got these young guns, like up and comers, who actually are, you know, I guess we'll find out, but it seems like they're almost at that. Like, I mean, Adam Spencer ran 3:31 last year. I was the most shocking thing for me looking down that list, apart from the depth, was just seeing Cam Meyer's birth year of 2006. I was like, what the like, I mean, no, we say it every time, but it's very, it makes you feel very old seeing that. I'm 10 years older than him. Jesus. So it's just like, it's got everything, this field. So I think it'll be amazing. And the other really interesting dynamic is Stewie, because he just has such a reputation for the way that he races and everyone knows it and he always does it. But I'm just wondering if this will be the time where he wants to try something new.
Sit and kick.
It is a risk, but I don't know. It's just like everyone, I think, feels like they really know what he's going to do. And then the issue with him doing that is there are just too many other good runners now who can stick on him. And if he wants to solo it, it'll be so hard to shake him off. He's almost like he needs a pacemaker, which would be crazy if they did have someone pace him. But it's like even El Guerrouj, when El Guerrouj was the best runner in the world, he wouldn't win all the championship races because, you know, everyone was like good enough to sit on him. And then in the, I think, was it the 2004 Olympics, the Morocco ended up like having essentially like a pacemaker for him. Like they had someone that was, I think, good enough to make the final to then just pace El Guerrouj so that he could run it from the front and
sounds like it. Sounds like someone else we know.
What, me? Jingy. No. Oh, Jingy. Jingy. I'm sorry. It is a Jingy, yeah.
He needs a pacemaker.
Yeah.
That's why Henrik's trying to get fit enough to make the final.
yeah. Oh, Philip could be back. Fingy could be back.
They would actually do that for him as well. That'd be so
they literally would.
Yeah, and they could probably make it through.
That'd be awesome to see.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. But yeah, going to be an amazing 1500 on Saturday here. I'm very excited to see how Ollie does in his first race back because, yeah, as he alluded to, these last 6 weeks just been crushing training. So fit and ready to go. Fit and ready
I think
to
you
go.
Have been training definitely harder than anyone else on the team because no one else has had like such a like no one else has had the same preparation as you where they kind of had to get fit in a short amount of time and then like didn't have any other races to get to like use as a stimulus like as a hard workout. So you've just had hard workouts on hard workouts that no one else has been doing really.
Yeah,
it's been crazy to see, but it's been working for sure.
I mean, I think the one thing that gives me confidence is I feel like I'm ahead of where I thought I would be, like, which is a nice factor of like just giving me confidence and to compete with these guys because they're so good and they've been racing so well recently. It's not like these races have been, particularly for Cam and Stewie and Jesse Hunt, like a lot of these guys, and Jai, a lot of these guys have been racing and racing well. So it gives me confidence that the training is doing well. So if I was training bad, I would not be feeling good about it. So that's a good sign for it. And you know, it's a good start to the year, start the season. You know, just enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, for Beamish, that's my plan.
What are your expectations, Mog?
You know, I'm really not sure how the 5K is going to play out. I have a feeling. I'm not sure what it's going to look like with people doubling back from the 1500, like Ollie and Stewie, like how that's going to play out. I wouldn't be surprised. I have a really small feeling that like they'll end up being a pacemaker in the race in some form, but I mean, I don't know, maybe we'll find out before the race just because like, you know, there's a lot of, because of the ranking system, if you can run a decent time at your national champs, like it helps a lot for everyone. So I think everyone would like it to be a slight, like not an all out race, but just slightly faster. Plane number three. Had a bit of a gap there.
That was a long gap.
So I wouldn't be surprised if someone is making it quick, but I'm not going to bank on that. What I think is most likely is there'll be some athletes who will want it to be faster, in particular the last mile or so. And I'm thinking of like, you know, a Jack Rayner and like a Kai Robinson. I think if they're feeling good, they like to push it before the last lap. So for me, I think it's pretty basic. I'm just, you know, I'm just racing it, and I feel pretty confident in my ability to go with a fast pace or to, you know, kick down at the end. So I'm hoping to just be patient and just be able to stick with it and just stay as, get to the one lap to go, you know, conserving as much energy as possible and then just rip it at the end. But who knows? Who knows how it'll play out? I remember last time I raced a national championships, we had Pat Tiernan in the race and it was just from the gun. It was like all out, and for me at least. And I was just like, I was just hanging on, just kind of yo-yoing. So that was a tough one. And I could, you know, maybe it will be like that again. So we'll see. But yeah, definitely. Even myself, I'm a little bit like, I don't know exactly what form I'm in. Like, I know I'm in good form, obviously. But, like, there's just a lot of question marks on everyone because, like, it's a group of guys that haven't raced each other, like, really ever.
You could say that for, like, a lot of the races, actually. Like,
yeah.
Besides probably Stewie and I, like, I haven't raced a lot of those guys in a while. And, like, in the 5K, too, like, Reyna, Kai, you,
yeah,
Stewie, Rambo, like you guys don't race occasionally together. Like it's not like in the US system where you go to Boston or New York and duke it out. This is like,
yeah,
a very rare occurrence.
So for that factor, it'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah, 100%.
A bit of uncertainty, but just good old fashioned racing, which we love. And yeah, I'm feeling pretty fit, ready to go.
I can confirm that Morgan's looking pretty good.
Had a grind of a workout. workout sucked.
Yeah, by yourself too, that was rough.
It's like the workout on paper was not that bad. It was three sets of 1600 threshold, 3x400 at 62, which on paper for us is not that crazy, but it was just one of those workouts, George, where I mentally was really chill going into it. And then I turn up and I'm like, fuck, I got to run like 5 miles on the track on my own right now. And then it was just like, so, you know, sometimes you feel like you're pushing to run, like, let's say 62, 400, like it just felt hard. It's like, man, I really wish this didn't feel so hard right now. So, but that's normally a good sign if I have a bit of a, like, a wake up.
Yeah.
Or like, style workout, like
refresher,
a week out from the race,
refresher,
like, oh, shit, we gotta start to turn it on. So I just start to do, I don't know if I did, I tell you guys that I do my like the week of the race, every day I try to do some visualization. Now
what do you visualize?
The race
That makes sense.
Just to confirm.
Yeah, just to confirm. I don't know if you're visualizing like dinner or
I visualize what I'm gonna eat the next day. No, I mean, I do that as well every day. But no,
do you,
I
do start, like the first like 5 days out is like day one, visualize first K, day two, second K, or is it the whole race every day?
See, if you were day late visualizing, you'd only get to the fourth K and you're like, shit, I didn't visualize the last K of the race.
Shit, what am I going to do? Pop that off the 4K. And the way I do it is, I don't do it for very long because I just find like a song that I kind of really like, or like that puts me in the right headspace. And then I just think about the race, and I think about, I go between thinking about like the hard moments of the race and working through the hard moments. And then also on the flip side, visualize like succeeding, you know, like things going well and feeling really good. Like I try to flip between those two things.
So will you like wear AirPods and listen to that song during the race?
Shouldn't I?
Yeah, if it wasn't illegal, it would have been pretty mad to see Morgan with
AirPods in.
I think it's illegal to run with a phone or some sort of device in your ears.
Just put your phone in the infield.
Yeah, it should be right
there. The range, there's a range good enough. I wonder.
I don't know.
Request mid race.
Oh, but they play it too early.
You're skipping songs.
Yeah, they put the song request in for Morgan, but they play it too early, and Morgan McDonald goes to 60s.
That's got to be illegal. I mean, I'm not sure how much it would be enforced. I'm just imagining. I'm thinking of, say, like a big marathon. Surely a lot of people running that marathon are holding their phones.
Oh yeah,
to music.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I've seen photos of people doing that.
Yeah.
So
people do it, I guess.
Maybe if, like in the non-elite field.
I was going to say, if you're not running like a 210 marathon, you're probably, running a 210 marathon with holding a phone and AirPods would be very hard, I feel.
Nice conversion. I was actually wishing that I had music yesterday, because I was like, I really need to dial in and get focused in.
They need to figure out a way to do it with the watches.
They do.
I know, but like better.
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like you have to download everything onto a watch, right?
Yeah.
They should do like a cloud system where like your Apple Music is just on your watch as
you,
like a.
You probably can on. I bet on an Apple Watch, you don't have to download it.
Oh, my old Apple Watch.
No, because you need your phone there, I think.
That's pretty annoying.
I think you need your phone to like, because I don't. Well, actually, I've never had an Apple Watch that. Can you buy an Apple Watch that has like 5G
internet? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can.
No idea.
So maybe those ones you don't. I've only had the one that you need that doesn't have that. That like everything goes through your phone. So I don't know. Well, So I was cleaning out my room a couple of weeks ago, and I found my old iPod Shuffle from like literally 10 years ago, and that's been a game changer. It's the one that is like a tiny little rectangle that clips onto your shorts. Yeah,
it's the best.
So good.
Why did they stop making that? That was such a good device.
It's so good
for running.
It's probably
your shit.
Worth $5 now.
Yeah. Like, did you run on that the other day? Is that what you're using? Yeah.
And the funniest thing about it is, it's just all my music from 10 years ago, and it's like all these songs that I haven't heard in forever.
Are they bangers?
Straight bangers. it's so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really been pumping me up on the solo runs recently, but yeah. Ollie and Morgs, we're feeling pretty good going into this race, and not just our events. There's plenty of good action here at the Aussie Trials. Well, not the Nationals, whatever you want to call it, this week. We're not really going to preview it, but I think everyone knows what the, I mean, every event is really exciting. I think maybe just highlight the women's 1500 will be absolute banger, where those three spots, like everyone who's competing for those three spots on the team are real, like this, the talent level is so high. Like these people are going to be probably making the finals at the Olympics. Like that's how good they are. And then even, you know, potentially fighting for medals and stuff. So it's a very exciting crop coming through there. And I don't know what else is notable. I mean, they're all notable.
I mean, the craziest thing is like, it is crazy. It's not as deep, but the women's high jump has two world champions competing for a national title. That's pretty crazy.
I didn't think about that.
That's like crazy. And like those two, I think Nicole was silver at Tokyo. Eleanor won Eugene, and then Nicole won indoors, I think.
How are the international entries looking?
We got a Fiji in the 1500.
No Santana?
No Santana. Yeah, Sam doesn't want that smoke. No, I'm kidding.
I saw you do. You have got a Kiwi in the 800, though.
Who is it?
Brad.
Oh, Brad. Yeah. That mate. Yeah. I mean, the 800 is also extremely stacked. I mean, there's Peyton Craig.
I should have just come down.
Yeah. Just hop in.
But then I think people would have wigged out about it, because then if they saw George in the 15, they'd be like, oh, he's there to pace Ollie. I was like, do you see George run? Have you ever seen George race? He's not here to pace Ollie. He's just here to race, baby.
It is kind of weird in those events. Well, I guess every event that has a heats and a finals, when you do have the internationals, and then an international person is knocking out.
I don't really understand that, but I understand it more in cross country, where it like doesn't like change the race, but
or if it's a one like it's one heat, yeah. One race, yeah,
5K or something.
But I guess that's just how it goes. If you're gonna be competing to win, you got to be making it through. So no, I think it'll be very, very good competition across the board. I think just being an Olympic year, everyone is turning up, and Ollie and I are both just very excited to be down here, to be a part of it. Happy to be here, you know, because it doesn't happen all the time. I guess the Olympics only comes around at once every 4 years, generally.
This time 3 years?
Yeah.
Three in this case.
It's very special for us. So we're excited. And if you can, please check out the races, because I think they'll be awesome. And even if the live stream is hard to find, Athletics Australia normally does a really good job at getting up a YouTube video post-race. So hopefully it's very accessible. But follow along our Instagram for more information on that. So that's it.
That's it for us,
I guess. George, let's take us to Boulder.
Should we hear a little Boulder update?
Take us to Boulder.
Well, we had quite the weekend. Apparently someone said we made the New York Times. Like
huge.
Freaking something about if anyone saw it. I don't know who reads the New York Times. We had a power outage. Actually a freaking long ass power outage, like a day and a half. It was looking like some strong winds were coming in. Like last week we were like, oh yeah, like this weekend is looking pretty windy. Looking real windy. They were like forecasting like 75 mile an hour winds, like 110 to 120 kilometer hour winds.
When
like Saturday
a cyclone,
I think it's at over 70 two or something was like hurricane force on like the scale of on Apple's we wind scale. And so a couple of years ago we had like Boulder had a really bad fire that burned down hundreds of houses, hundreds. And supposedly like power lines were involved or something, or it helped start it, fuel it. I can't really remember what the deal was, but in order to reduce the risk of that, they like before it had even got that windy on Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. power out. and not like it was a little bit spotty, like we had no power and the gym had no power. I was gonna go run on the treadmill in the afternoon because it was like by like 4 or 5 it was supposed to be like 60 plus already. I was like, I don't really want to be out in that, but then the gym had no power, so treadmills weren't gonna go. Only Longmont had Clicker had power still, and Niwot had power, but Mario's house didn't have power. Most of Boulder didn't have power, so that was quite eventful. So we cooked dinner in the dark, had some bit of a candlelit affair, quite romantic. But and then changed Sunday's workout, which was going to be quite the challenge on the track. I didn't end up doubling because we postponed the workout. So he was like, "All right, no one double. Like, it's like legit dangerous out there. You're going to get hit by a tree or something."
Even still went out, and I was a bit concerned. She's crazy.
Yeah, I think Cinta was the only one who doubled because she had a friend or something that wanted to run, which sounded. I don't know. Maybe she only ran like 3 miles or something, I think. But she was crazy. I did not want to go out in that. I did eventually drive in it, and it was like pretty crazy. It was like white. You could feel not it. As bad as I thought it was going to be, but quite eventful. And so
his car tipping over. Your car just flies over.
I was thinking like there got to be like those big semi trucks on I-25. Like they catch lot of wind.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they're like heavy. I guess they're probably like heavy enough at the bottom to not flip over, but that's kind of wild. Yeah. There's actually less damage than I thought too. There is a tree down on the trail at Nawa, like on the little cool down trail. You had to climb over a tree right there. But otherwise, like surprisingly not as much damage as you would think. And we got power at like, it was over 24 hours. We got like 4 p.m. yesterday maybe. So it was off for like a day and a bit, which was wild.
No Wi-Fi. No Wi-Fi for over 24 hours.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Luckily, we have a guest, though. Experience. So cooking was very manageable. And like we could still make coffee and tea and
People stuff that didn't have gas must have been screwed.
Yeah. They couldn't cook anything at Cinta's place. And then
their place had electricity
out as well.
So what do they do for food?
They just foraged.
Starved, I think.
You can't really get DoorDash either because no one's driving in those conditions either. Like, you can't get food. And, like, those places would be closed.
You could drive to Longmont.
Oh, yeah, true. Longmont.
Yeah. I asked if they wanted to eat Gus, but they drove.
How is he looking, though? Can we get a Gus update?
Gus juicy? He's completely blind now after looking at the eclipse directly. I tried to tell him not to stare at the sun, but he wouldn't listen, and he really wanted to see the eclipse. So he's totally blind.
Totally blind. He needs a walking stick now, like a cane.
I think his other senses are so good, he doesn't need sight.
Yeah. Just not true.
So apart from that, Gus is great. Same old.
He's
alive.
Lovely.
Alive and well.
Yeah, I was worried that you might have cooked him over the power outage. I was like, shit, this might be it for Gus. He might go first.
I don't think he noticed, to be honest. not a big user of his life. He doesn't use a lot of appliances in the house, like just some. But
He was just trying to get on Instagram. He's like, what's going on?
Yeah, he's checking out the Twitter updates about the power outage.
Yeah. And so we ended up working out this morning, and now it's quite nice in Boulder. It was sunny, a little breezy, just like a normal sunny breezy day at Nawa. Beautiful day for some track stuff.
And that's the Boulder update. Training? I think. Well, we haven't had you for 2 weeks, so what's the George specific training update? Life update. Is this four?
Four, number four here.
These are rookie numbers compared to last episode. Training. You know what? I'm just trying to make it to tomorrow when Jason gets here. that's been the training outlook for the past like 10 days. So nothing's like actually, like I've been running a little, like I cut a few miles last week, like 10 to 15, maybe a couple of doubles and some runs. So I tweaked my ankle in the gym a couple weeks ago, like completely unrelated to running, just like a little sprain in the gym. And it just like hurt a little bit for a couple of days. So I took a couple of days easy and then got back into running, and it like just kind of came right, like a sprained ankle does. But like, I don't know, just the way my body operates and being not very, I don't know, I'm more like Morgan. Something is a little off, everything's fucked. And
sensitive. Yeah.
And so I think like the rest of my body was like searching for stability and like mobility from having a janky ankle for like a week, and so every single other part of my body hurt for like 10 days. It was very frustrating. But yeah, like not an injury, just like feeling bad running for
we can call
10 days probably.
I feel like that's a niggle. That's not an injury.
It was like something, it was like a different niggle like every single day. It was like my hip and then it was my, and then it was the other foot and then it was like just
keep
all
you
over
on
the
your
place.
Toes. Yeah.
So that was a bit annoying.
Your carbs are okay though, right?
I don't know, bro. We'll see on this double.
They might need to get something new.
So I'm just very much looking forward to Jason coming tomorrow and hopefully like sorting out whatever's, if there's anything still left. Like I'm sure there's still a little bit of like inflammation and stiffness in that ankle from like spraining it a little bit. But actually had me and Yared had a nice workout today, and Mario. Mario does some shorter, faster stuff these days, but he was with us for 80% of it. So, yeah, not a lot of us on the track these days with the internationals, mostly overseas, and Joe Klecker on the Zwift grind, as you would have seen if you follow him on Instagram and or Strava.
Zwift.
I went on his Strava. To check out his update. So I think I saw, I don't know, on Instagram, he's like, yeah, check out my Strava for a more in-depth update on the cross training. And he's not mucking about. If you want to see what some in-depth cross training looks like, you should definitely go check out his Strava. It's pretty interesting. He's doing a great job of just ticking all the boxes, I would say. Like he doesn't do it half-heartedly. He does literally everything in turn from, he's got the Zwift going, so he's putting in the like actual decent, solid, hard rides. And then he's on the elliptical at altitude. He's got the altitude mask on while he's on the elliptical. Do you know what altitude he's ellipticaling at?
He said you can't, like, there's no way to, like, tell. He just kind of goes off, like, yeah.
If he starts going blue, take it off, take the mask off.
If he starts going blue, take the mask off. If he's not wearing it, his heart rate's, like, 120 or something, he puts it on and it's like 150 or 160 or like, for that's example, like he's just kind of goes off heart rate. It just like makes his heart rate higher.
Fair enough. So, and then the other thing that he's doing, which is really smart, but also like really taxing on your body, is he's doing some blood flow restriction stuff, which he said he was doing it walking on the treadmill, I think, which is to me crazy because when I did it, I was just doing like some squats. And it was so painful and so hard. For those who don't know, it's a pretty, well, I don't actually know how, I think it's pretty legit. You know, there's a lot of different like stuff going on out there, but I think this type of training is pretty legit in terms of if you're injured and you can't like generate lactic acid and stuff in your legs, you put these things on that cut off your circulation to a certain extent, and then you do some activities. So yeah, for me it was squats, for Joe it's walking, and your legs just get flooded with the lactic acid, and it really feels like you're doing some intense rep in a workout. And it's just something that I think otherwise is almost impossible to get through all the cross training that. So he's ticking all the boxes. It's very impressive.
He said he was walking on the treadmill and it felt like he was like at an all-out sprint.
It's really painful, like in a good way, like in a way that like, holy shit, how's this is maybe not healthy,
really painful in a good way.
So that's good that he's doing all that stuff, and I'm sure it's gonna pay off big. So yeah.
that's the life update. That's the boulder update.
There we go.
I love it. Well, we've actually already covered most of the things that we wanted to today. I think in closing, maybe George, do you have any tips for us going into these national championships?
Because obviously you know about running a national championship, George,
As a very recent championship winner, a big championship, the world championship.
The last national championships I ran were Australian championships.
Really?
I've run Australian championships more recently than I've run New Zealand championships. Because it was like a week later. I did pretty bad, I think. I feel like I came like sixth in the 1500. Under 20, maybe. I'm pretty sure Charlie Hunter won. This is like 20.
That's a while ago.
what was it, 2014? Ten years ago. That was
10 years ago.
Oh my shit, I'm so old.
Cameron Myers would have been how old? He's like probably 8 years old. 8 years old when you ran that.
Yeah. Possibly not born. Not sure. We'd have to ask him. No tips. I think I've got a lot of confidence in you boys.
No tips, just the tip. Just the tip. Thanks, George.
I'm excited to watch. I'll be staying up for it. I'll let Gus. Yeah. I'll put Gus in front of the screen.
He can't see anyway, he's blind.
No, Commentary. Yeah.
Perfect.
Hopefully, is Mitch Dwyer commentating? That guy, he'd be great on the commentary.
He would be great. I don't know if he's been promoted that highly, but he'll do his own commentary, and you can follow it later, maybe, or maybe on his Instagram or something. Yeah,
follow Straight Edit if you want like really good Australian champs coverage.
You know what? He probably won't be commentating because he'll probably be doing interviews.
Yeah, media.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he will be there with the media credential doing post-race interviews.
So, outstanding.
Yeah. Well, George, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, lovely to be here. Good luck.
Thanks, George.
We appreciate it. And thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Once again, this has been episode 132 of the Cup for Cup podcast. That's it from us. Wish us luck, and we'll see you all again next week.